up your Bibles. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do.
You have just heard what is often listened to as Joel Osteen's wonderful teaching, at least from his point of view, on the message of Christianity. He often begins his worship services with a joke, and then he says, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do." And in order to help you understand what you're able to do, he's written a book entitled Breakout. And on this long gospel, on this Wednesday, March the 19th, in the year of our Lord 2014, I, Tom Baker, am going to be examining this book and encourage you to be very careful with this book, because it is not traditional Christianity, and it certainly is not Reformation Christianity. If there's one item that the Reformation brought out that is so clear from the Bible, is that we are justified by grace through faith alone, without any merit or worthiness on our part. The distinctions between a religion of law and the only one of gospel, which is Christianity, is that the law has conditional promises, while the gospel is unconditional in the benefits you receive through faith in Jesus Christ. When you see the word if, this leads to a law religion, such as God will love you if you are kind to your neighbor, or if you obey the commandments, God will save you. Instead, the Christian faith reveals a God who saves the ungodly by grace, which means without deserving or meriting salvation. But listen to some of these statements from Joel Osteen that indicates that salvation is meritorious. Salvation is something that you can actually buy. On page 4, because you have honored God, he will put you in a position you never could have attained on your own. Now, would you please tell me what the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul on the road to Damascus, did to honor God in order that he was put in a position he could never have obtained on his own? He became apostle to the Gentiles. But he was not honoring God, he was persecuting the church. Page 8, he said, because you honor him, he would give you houses that you didn't have to build. You would reap from vineyards you did not plant. Time and time again throughout the entire book, as long as you honor God, then you're going to get benefits from God. When you honor God, when you're good to people, kind, compassionate, and merciful, the blessings will come looking for you. That's on page 11. Now, you may want to ask any specific question on Joel Osteen or what I'm doing here. That's our topic for today. So you can phone me in the St. Louis area at 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we do want to stay on the subject of Joel Osteen, and near the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can obtain a paper that I have written on the criticisms. Now, this is going to really surprise you. But for Joel Osteen, you have to meet these certain requirements that God has in order to bless you because, are you ready for this? God is limited. God is limited? I thought he was all-powerful. According to Joel, he is limited by our capacity to receive. You see, God wants to bless you, but he can only do so if you stretch your faith to its limits and believe bigger things can happen in your life. It is our lack of faith that limits God. According to Joel Osteen, his power can only bless us once we do our part in having strong faith. Oh, you don't believe that? Page 5. Your new attitude should be, God, I'm ready. I'm taking the limits off of you. Wow. Page 47. Even though God has amazing things in your future, He is limited by your capacity to receive. Page 70. God is not looking for super talented people. He is looking for ordinary people who will take the limits off of Him so He can show His goodness in extraordinary ways. God is saying on page 110, now, there's no Bible verse behind this. We'll talk more about Joel's use of Scripture in a little bit, but here's what he says God is saying, page 110. I dare you to ask. I dare you to take the limits off of me. I dare you to think bigger. I dare you to stretch your faith. I dare you to pray God-sized prayers. No wonder Joel Osteen's church never baptizes an infant, because how can an infant think bigger? And of course, God is limited in helping out an infant, because you got to have strong faith. Page 125. This is the impatient creator, I call it. Notice the power is activated only when we believe. That means right now the creator of the universe is just waiting to release healing, restoration, favor, promotion, and abundance. The only catch is we have to believe. And when he talks about believing, he's not talking about faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and your sins are forgiven. He's talking about faith that bigger things can happen to you. I mean, it's succinctly said on page 134, be a believer. Take the limits off God. This is so sad. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? Did he give food only to those who really believed he was able to do that? Not even the disciples believed that. We've only got just a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. And they ended up picking up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. God doesn't have limits. In fact, an unbeliever cannot possibly have faith because he is an unbeliever. So therefore, God would be limited in saving him. You see, we love God because he first loved us. God is the one who makes the first move, not you or me. So if God has limits, then we really don't have an all-powerful God. To whom do we need to look to? Well, if God is limited, then we need to have someone who is not limited to give us the information and insights in order to get God to bless us. And that man is Joel Osteen. Joel really believes that if he simply declares something, it's going to happen, as long as you have sufficient faith. Joel doesn't need any biblical evidence for what he sees in the future for you. He says he sees through his eyes of faith a tidal wave is coming your way. He compares himself to the prophet Isaiah. And by the way, if you want an example of what is referred to as a prosperity gospel, you will definitely find it in this book entitled Breakout. Because he says, all will be well with your finances, your family, your health, and your career. These are promises that not even Jesus made. Instead, warning us against suffering and persecution for the believing Christian. Page 12, because you have been faithful and honored God, I believe and declare, Joel says, God will put you in a position you could never have gotten to on your own. Page 20, through my eyes of faith, I see a tidal wave coming your way. Page 23, like Isaiah, I've announced that a flood of God's power is coming. Page 99, I believe and declare you will become everything God has created you to be, and you will have everything God intended you for to have. And page 133, because you are a believer, all will be well with you. All will be well with your family. All will be well with your finances. All will be well in your health. All will be well with your career. It's too bad Joel wasn't around during the time that the early Christians were persecuted by the Romans and thrown to the lions. What happened to the promises back then? As indicated, our numbers here are in St. Louis, 821-0850, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with David. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Baker. I imagine what he's preaching is just, I'm sure you would agree, it's heretical. I kind of question all those multitudes of people he has in his church down there, and if they're being led on the wide gate that leads to destruction.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I can fill my church every Sunday morning with law-oriented preaching and also giving gifts. Jesse Jackson, there was a church, had about 30 members in it, and he began to have a free breakfast, and they went up to about 500 people came on a Sunday morning, free breakfast at a worship service. And then the Rainbow Coalition ran out of money to give him the breakfast, and within 4 weeks, they were down to 40 people.
There you go.
If you hear somebody telling you you can do anything you want, you're going to be going there, because that kind of fills your ego, self-esteem. What we're finding, that people who attend these church services don't last more than 3 or 4 years, because they have all kinds of hopes, nothing happens, and therefore they end up leaving and become discouraged. But we're trying to warn people ahead of time. Go ahead, David.
I wonder how he would do in Ethiopia, and how he would do in Africa somewhere.
I know. It's something that we can only speculate on. But my point is, you know, he makes the point a number of times. He even told a woman not to go and get health care because God was going to heal her. And I would wonder what he's going to say at the funeral of his wife if she ever would die from cancer. What is it? She didn't have enough faith?
That's it.
Thanks so much for calling, David.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And anybody else can call. Our numbers are in St. Louis, 821-0850, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. We've so far talked about that, well, number one, you're saved and you get all these gifts out of merit because you honor God. You have to do your part. You have to have strong faith. And we'll talk about what he means by faith. Then we looked at that God has limits. He can't do what he wants to do for you until you show him your strong faith. Page 130, God goes to work when he sees you have a made-up mind. What does that mean? What unbeliever ever has a made-up mind to truly believe in the Holy Trinity and truly believe that his sins are so severe that he deserves nothing but temporal and eternal punishment? Have you ever heard of a confession of sins at a Joel Osteen's worship service, if you even want to call it a worship service, because they're really worshiping him. They're worshiping his message, not the message of God. Because Joel becomes God. Through his eyes of faith, he sees all these things happening to you. Page 41, in these coming days, there will be a transfer of wealth. Page 99, I believe and declare you will become everything God has created you to be, and you will have everything God intended for you to have. And finally, page 227, if you learn this simple principle to get over it, then I believe and declare not disappointment, no bad break, no injustice will keep you from your destiny. It's as though that earth is now heaven, if you have sufficient faith. But of course, there needs to be a key. What is the key that Joel offers to get the limitations off of God and get in agreement with what God wants for you? Well, he says, first you need to dream big and listen to the things that God has promised in your spirit. Now, if that's not taking the Bible out of the equation, I don't know what does. In other words, Joel says not to look to Holy Scripture to discover God's plan for your life. Look instead to that still small voice in your spirit. And then listen to this. The only promises that will come alive in your life and end up becoming realities are the promises where you rise up and say, yes, that's for me. You have to get in agreement with God and let it take root. That's page 44. 96 is really something. God, as soon as it turns around, then I'll know I have your favor. Then I'll thank you. For years here on Law and Gospel, we've been talking about the distinction between the theologian of self-glory and the theologian of the cross. The theologian of self-glory looks at his experience to see how God responds to him, how God looks to him. And therefore, if things are going great, you know you have his favor. Then I'll thank you. But that's not the message of the Bible. When the apostles were martyred, they gave thanks to God. See, suffering is not the opposite of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the Christian faith, because we live in a sin-filled world, tempted by the world, the devil, and our flesh. So the key here, the key is you have to believe the promises. But what promises is Joel Osteen talking about? You ready? Your dreams are God's promises. You see, what he is teaching is that promises from God do not appear in the Bible. Well, some do, but they also come about through your dreams. In fact, because you have dreamed, it is evidence for Joel that God will bring the promise to pass. Can you imagine the dreams people have these days? In fact, I think we should thank God that he will not bring many of the dreams that people have to pass. How does Joel know when God puts a dream in your heart? He has set a completion date, and he will bring it to pass. Well, that's because Osteen thinks he's God. The idea that God will never ask you to do something without giving you the ability to do it, as Joel Osteen says, flies in the face of the proper teaching of the law. God demands perfection in obedience to the law. But God does not give us the ability to do so, even filled with the Holy Spirit. We end up being, as Paul says in Romans 7, doing the things we do not want to do and unable to do the things that we want to stop from doing. I'll tell you, I'll take the God of Paul rather than the small g God of Joel any day. Page 21. God, thank you for letting all the dreams and desires you've put in me come to pass. Now get this one. Page 35. God wouldn't have given you the dream unless he already had a way to bring it to pass. What? God will never ask you to do something and then not give you the ability to do it. Well, he asks us to obey the law. He sent his son to the cross because he knows we don't have the ability to do it. In the few minutes left, if you want to call me, 821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now listen to page 104. There are dreams and desires God has placed in your heart. They didn't just randomly show up. The creator of the universe put them in you. They are part of your divine destiny. You can tell a desire or dream is from God. Okay, now I would add, if you can find a Bible verse to back it up. But he says, if it involves something bigger or grander than you could ever accomplish on your own. What was it? Yesterday, somebody $100 million in the lottery. That's a good dream. God put that in my heart. You see, what Joel is saying are things that are really contrary to the scripture. And that's because he takes Bible passages out of context. We theologians talk about the difference between exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis is taking out of the Bible God's understanding, while eisegesis is putting into the Bible your personal interpretation. So Joel says, God will make rivers in the desert. He'll make streams in the barren places. The economy may be down, business may be slow. God is our source, and God is not having a down year. There's no verse in the Bible that connects rivers in the desert to a good economy. And we can give you so many Bible verses just out of context. But let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. It just occurred to me that from what you described, Joel Osteen's approach is that what he seems to be doing is paralleling or borrowing the strategy from Walt Disney and his entertainment empire, where you try to actualize or present a dream world come true, so to speak, and that all problems are solved, everything, everyone is happy. This is what it's brought to mind from your description, that the Disney empire was founded on this attempt to popularize and commercialize images that convey the personal dream fulfillment perspective.
No, that's very interesting. I sure appreciate those comments. And anybody else can call. We've only got a few moments left, 821-0850. Or 1-800-730-2727. In the meantime, would you like a copy of the paper that I've done? You can get a PDF copy through your email for $3. What we'll do is you just email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel.com and ask for a PDF copy. I'll send it immediately, and then in the email there'll be a way to send me the $3. Or if you want a hard copy through snail mail, that's $5, and then just send me an email with your name and address and phone number, and we'll be glad to send that. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and speak with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just want to say I'm no fan of this guy you're talking about, but the one thing you got to admit, though, I mean, his principles did work for himself as far as being a financial success.
Well, most Mormons are financial successes. About the only person that wasn't in the Bible was Jesus. He wasn't a financial success. So if you want to compare Joel Osteen to what Jesus was, he's the very opposite. Jesus had no place to lay his head. He depended on people taking care of him. He was crucified on the cross. And not once did he ever talk about that he could get out of the condition that God had put him in, namely to die for the sins of you and me, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of saying it, too. Okay, thanks.
Thank you so very much. Yes. Once again, we are by nature, and I'm this way, theologians of self-glory. We look to people who are successful, and we're just like the Pharisees. You need to understand this, that in the day of Jesus, Judaism was teaching that Jesus should be crucified because he was taking away the punishment from people that God was punishing through blindness or being lame or being mute or whatever. In fact, this coming Monday on Issues, Etc., I'll be talking about the man who was born blind, and you're going to see and hear a theology there that is totally different than what you hear from Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a prosperity gospel. Christianity is not a prosperity gospel. Now, the fact that there are a number of Christians who have become very wealthy doesn't mean that that's what God intends for all of us. We are to be happy with whatever we have, and it really does make a difference. I think we got time for one more call. Let's get Cheryl in Indianapolis. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. My comment is that we just, on his time, they just had the readings from Mark 7, 21 to 23, where Jesus says, out of the heart, proceed, and evil thoughts is the first one. It's just the opposite. His teaching, Joel Osteen's teaching, is just the opposite of Jesus' teaching.
Well said, and I really agree with that. And that's why it's important for people to be aware of it. He sounds so good because from a psychological point of view, he's not teaching theology. He's talking psychology. In fact, in the paper I wrote, I indicate that he brags that he was never trained in theology. And then I say he goes ahead and proves it by writing this book entitled Breakout. It's about as far from Christianity. It's really part of the Word Faith movement. We might continue to talk a little bit about that tomorrow when we have Ruminations. And we're speaking, of course, with Wes Reimnitz. So that'll be tomorrow's broadcast. Also, we're encouraging you, are there things happening in the news that you would like two pastors to discuss? Email me at my new email address, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. And you can use that to call me or email me about a PDF for $3 or a hard copy for $5. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.